Eugene, everybody knows me, but we have a small group, and I think it's been a better opportunity for us that we met your church and met other believers who teach right. So because we grew up in the former Soviet Union, and when I became a believer in 1994, we had only one choice where we could get the spiritual food, and that was Baptist church back in Ukraine, but the teaching wasn't deep. We didn't get the most important part, I think. We didn't get the part about Christian living. And when we moved here in the U.S., after a few years, we had to leave our church in Salem, and then we moved here, and then God made this for us that we met you. And we met other believers, and we heard the right teaching about our position in Christ. And that changed the whole life. That changed the whole life, because any Christian could only be victorious if they understand, their position in Christ and what it means. And here we are. We've learned a lot. So what we shared, even today and every time, is what we've learned. But good thing is that we enjoy. We enjoy that we stay here. We enjoy that we get the right teaching. And when we meet here on Sundays, we don't have many people, as you know. We have only a few people. But it's not important, because we grow, and we grow spiritually. And that's the most important part. And when we hear the word, we apply it in our lives, and we grow spiritually. And in the last days, last few weeks, we are studying the part of the fruit of the Spirit. Parts of the fruit of the Spirit, which are, we have nine different qualities. And when Pastor Mark came and visited our group a few weeks ago, he heard about it and said, can you come here and teach the way you normally teach in your church? I said, okay. It's not a problem, but the way we do it normally, we use our Bibles and we go through the scriptures and we talk about it. So if anyone has questions, they can ask. They can just interrupt and ask, and we talk about it and we continue. And that's, I think, as a result of this great opportunity that we have. We have a small group, so it's hard to do it in a large group. So imagine if there are like 100 or 200 people and everyone has a question, then it's long. But we have only a few people, and when we have questions, we just stop and continue. So I said it because if I say something that is not clear, or if you don't agree, please feel free to tell me and correct me. So we come to this fruit of the Spirit, which is meekness. And if you look at the whole description, or the whole purpose of having this fruit of the Spirit, is ultimately, this is for the glory of God, glory of the Father. And we read about that in John chapter 15, that the Father, Jesus says, that the Father will be glorified if we bring much fruit. That's what brings glory to the Father. And this is for church. This is not for the saints in the Old Testament. This is for the church, because we have unique opportunity and unique enabling that did not exist before. So we have indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we have a unique position in Christ. And because of that, in our lives, it could be realized in the form of the fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit produces that fruit in our lives, and that fruit brings glory to God the Father, and also it makes us happy. It makes us happy, because when we live on this earth, we have to go through different trials, tribulations, and we have to, it's actually a suffering, I would say, but heaven, this unique enabling from the Holy Spirit help us to go through this life, because we know our hope, we know where we're going. So that's important. So we looked at different qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, and we came to meekness. And I look at up in the dictionary. Let's open Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. I usually ask Timothy Valsan to read. But he can read today by myself, or he can read if he's early. So let's open Galatians chapter 5. By the way, I have this New King James Version Bible. In Russian, I usually use Russian Bible. It looks similar to King James, only in Russian. So there are some words that are outdated in the Russian Bible, as well as in King James. So I decided to bring New King James because it's a little bit, I think, better. So 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, or faith, actually, gentleness, self-control. So what they put here is gentleness. But is it really gentleness, this meekness? Meekness is in the King James. In the King James, we have meekness. In the New King James, we have gentleness. So just looking at Strong's dictionary that I have in my computer software, it says that it comes from the word praeotes, which is defined as synonym of gentleness in that dictionary. And it says that it's gentleness by implication, humility, meekness. That's what it says. And there are several places in the Bible where we can find that word. That Greek word, that praeotes, that is used and translated as meekness. So what is meekness? We look at, I have at home American College Dictionary. I don't know if it's good or not, but it's old dictionary. I looked it up and it says that word meekness is humbly, patient, submissive, as under provocation from others. It also could be undoubtedly patient or submissive, spiritless, tame, or gentle, kind. Is that really the case? So let's look at some verses from the Bible where we see the use of this word. Specifically, there are two people in the Bible about whom the Bible says they were meek or very meek. And those are Moses and Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth. So they were meek. And if we look at our Lord, at the Bible, what it says about our Lord Jesus Christ, you can see that in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." So that Jesus talking about himself. And then in 21, Matthew 21, it says, tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king or your king comes unto you meek and sitting upon a donkey, the colt of a foal of a donkey. So this is in Matthew 21. And then about Moses, we read in Numbers chapter 12. And in Numbers chapter 12, it says that Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So he is compared to all people on the earth. So if you look at their lives, at the lives of Jesus and Moses, and we see that they were spiritless, submissive, or tame. Not really. So if we look at Moses, for example, what he did when he saw that Israel, they departed from God and make a molten calf. So they took gold that they had, they melted, and they threw it in the fire, melted, and they had some piece of gold that looked like a calf, and then Aaron worked it a little bit, and they had a calf, and they worshipped it. And when Moses was coming down from the mountain and he saw it, what was his reaction? His reaction wasn't really gentle, right? Remember what he did with that calf. Calf. Yeah. What? Yeah, he broke it up. Not only he broke it up, but he basically broke it up with so small pieces that it could be dissolved in the water. And he didn't just throw it away. He put it in the water and let people drink, right? People of Israel, this nation, they had to drink that water. That calf dissolved in it. So their God dissolved in it. That wasn't a gentle behavior, I think. But God, nevertheless, he calls that person that used very meek. So he was he had something else in mind. And if you look at our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on this earth, we also can find many, many examples when he wasn't gentle. He wasn't gentle at all. Like, remember two times when he came to the temple and saw changers in the temple, and saw that people were selling stuff and they were exchanging. There was a business going on in the temple. What did he do? He made a scourge out of ropes, right? Made that scourge out of ropes and just punished those people. I think he turned upside down their tables, and all of these animals were running around in the temple. And he did it. He did it because it is his property, basically. Not Herod the Great built it, like Pharisees were thinking, but that was his property that belonged to God, and those people make it was there for a certain purpose, right? But people corrupted it, and he cleaned the temple. He did it two times. Or how he talked to Pharisees. Remember this nine times. I think it's in Matthew 23 when he says nine times, "Woe to you! Woe to you!" And the names that he uses to call those people, to name Pharisees, they were not really, it wasn't polite, I think. And it wasn't gentle at all. I think if they could, they could just kill him, but they couldn't. It wasn't time yet. That made them very upset. Remember one time I was preaching about that back in Russian church, and we have a little bit different structure. In Russian church, we have we had back then in Salem, we had a special like committee of brothers who in a very high place, I would say, like where everybody gets in the sanctuary, and then when everybody is in, then another door opens, and people start to come in. These brothers, and they sit, and something like that. So one day I was preaching about this nine woes to Pharisees, and suddenly I noticed that brothers were not very happy. I decided to go away a little bit from that subject, because I think they took it personally. Yeah, some of the brothers, yeah, they looked like that. Their faces were red, and... nevertheless, this is what Jesus was saying to these Pharisees, right? He was saying to them who they are, and that was true, because he is righteous. It means that he acts right. So whatever he said was right about them, about these people, and it wasn't gentle at all. But what makes them special? Like if we talk about Moses, remember, in Old Testament, there was a prophecy. It's Moses said that prophecy that after him, God will raise a prophet like himself, So it was a special characteristic of a prophet that belonged specifically to Moses, but not to other prophets after the Moses, right? Like himself. And himself, he was essentially a leader. His goal was to bring people of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. They were slaves there. And that was his goal, and he did everything for that goal. He started kind of rough, right? When he was 40 years old, he basically killed an Egyptian. And then the Israelites, they didn't understand him. So he had to run in the wilderness to escape Pharaoh. And then he lived there for 40 years, and then he came back. And then he was very, very persistent. Very persistent in accomplishing his goal. And his goal was to lead people of Israel out of the bondage. And he did it. He did it even though he wasn't gentle, right? But he did it. And when we look at the context, when the Bible says about Moses that he was very meek, we see the picture of his brother, Aaron, and his sister, Miriam, and talking to him, teaching to him what to do, basically. They didn't like that he had a wife from Ethiopia, and they were advising something to him. And in that context, we see that Moses was very meek. So I think he just didn't want them to be punished, but that's what happened. That's what happened to Miriam, because he got this leprosy. She got that leprosy. She became white because of that, and she had to live 1 week outside of the camp, because that was a special way how God was teaching her and other people. And God showed them the authority that Moses had. So what's special about Moses that he had that goal in his mind, and he was following that goal till the very last days of his life. If you look at Jesus, we also can see this similarity in that sense. Jesus came on this earth, and what he did, we read in the scriptures. We read it in, Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, let's read that verse. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. That's very important. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. So we know in the original Greek it says emptied himself. So he emptied himself. No reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. So that's about Jesus. So he came here on this earth, and what do we have now? We have now salvation. We have now salvation by believing, because we believed in the gospel message. And the gospel message that is defined is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, Christ died for my sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and then he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. Then he appeared to many people. So about 20 years ago, it's almost 19 years ago, I heard that message. I heard that message, and I believed it, and God saved me. And I hope everybody here in this room are saved. But we are saved because Christ accomplished that. He had to, actually to empty himself from that glory that he had in the heavens and come down to this earth and live a life like an ordinary human being for 33 years. And not only that, it's like people had many, many things, many pleasures in the life. They could use that world system to their benefit, but he did not have it. What he had is just some cloth that was taken from him when he was nailed to the cross. And then he died on that cross. Even on the cross, remember, even on the cross, he was fulfilling the will of his Father. That was his goal. So his goal was to fulfill the will of his Father here on earth. And he did it. And he said at the end of his ministry that he glorified Father. He glorified Father, and now he says, Father will glorify him. That's at the end of, it's in chapter 17 of John. So he accomplished that goal. And his goal was to fulfill the will of his Father. And we saw it, that he was obedient, like we just read, to the point of death and death of the cross. Now, what we have this salvation, that not of works, but by faith. And we believed. We believed, and because we believed, God saved and God changed us. He gave us a new nature, right? We have new nature, we have new position, and we can utilize it so that we are mature. And when we are mature in our lives, we see the fruit of the Spirit that grows. And it grows, and we are happy because of that. And because it grows in our lives, the God the Father is glorified. So now we come back to this meekness. So if we look at Moses and we look at Jesus, we see that meekness in this case, it was actually special objectivity of mind that they had. And if we actually look at Lavent Schaeffer's definition, and I liked it. I liked it, so I just put it here. Let me read it. So what he says here is meekness is a tameness of spirit, the rational part of the mind. Meekness is a control of mind which keeps the mind directed at the object without distractions. So there were many, many distractions in the life of Moses, right? Many distractions, but he kept his mind on that final goal, the accomplishing that goal, to lead this people, the Israelites, God's people, the nation out of Egypt, out of the bondage of Egypt. So that goal was accomplished. Look at Jesus Christ. We see his goal and to do the will of his Father, and he did it always. And he did it always. Now we see in the scriptures the part of the spirit that actually about us, that we also can exhibit as a part of the fruit of the spirit, this meekness. Meekness that belonged to Moses, that had Moses. And that Christ also was meek here on earth. So we can see that this is something that God expects from us, but this is not ours because this is the part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? So why do we need to have this meekness? So why do we need to have that objectivity of mind? So this special attitude that when our mind is kept focused on our final goal. By the way, what is our final goal? What do we expect most here on earth? My wife is always talking about the rapture. She's asking, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? We talk to Val almost every day, and she's also expecting the rapture. We have certain promises from God, right? And I think this blessed hope of the appearance of our Lord is time when we will be raptured is on the top of the list, right? So we live here, but we know at some point in time, we will be changed. Some people will have to go through physical death, but some of us probably won't see physical death. We will be changed. We will be changed by the glorious power of Jesus Christ. This will happen. So this should be our objective. And this is where we need this meekness to keep focused on that objective when we live in our life. Let's read some verses from the Bible where actually we see the use of the meekness. James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1. Verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So we have to receive the word that is implanted. In Russian it says like the word is similar to when you plant something. And this is also in English, right? We plant tomatoes and we expect good fruit, tomatoes. So here the word is planted. And the word is planted for purpose. And the word is planted, and the believers, they have to receive that word with meekness. So with that objectivity of mind, we have to receive that word so that our present tense salvation, which is able to save your souls, this is about our present tense salvation, right? Because in our souls we have the center of emotions, so we need to have meekness for our present time, for this to receive the word with meekness, with keeping that final goal in mind, which is able to save our souls. So then it would ultimately help us to control our souls, to control our appetites, our desires, and to have victorious Christian life in this present tense salvation. So it's important. Then meekness also in Ephesians chapter 4, meekness is a part of walking worthy. Pastor Mark was preaching about that a lot, and it's also very very encouraging words for us. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let's go to Ephesians. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness. Here we have the same word, meekness. And with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Again, it's a part of our Christian life that we should have to be victorious. Then we can in Colossians it says that we as elect of God we need to put on the meekness, right? It's part of this part of what we need to put on. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Then meekness is one of the qualities that man of God needs to follow. That's when Paul is talking to Timothy in chapter 6, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Again, we see some of these parts of the fruit of the Holy Spirit here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Then we have to deal with brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes our brothers and sisters in Christ, they are not doing the right things. And the scripture here says that we need also meekness to deal with such cases. So in Galatians chapter 6, it says that meekness is needed for a spiritual believer to restore a brother overtaken in trespass. Chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you, which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we have to have that objectivity of mind. If we are spiritual, we can restore the brother who is in trespass. But we have to have that objectivity of mind, not to be tempted also, because there is an element of temptation that comes from it. So you can see that this meekness is used a lot. So that's why God supplies that meekness as a part of the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, we can read this in Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Look, it has all meekness. So it means that meekness has some facets, right? It says all meekness to all men. So I think it's related to application. When we need to apply the meekness in certain cases, we have to do a specific, we have to apply a specific thing from the meekness. So it says all meekness unto all men. And in context, it doesn't talk only about the believers. So we also need to have that meekness when we talk to other people, when we talk to unbelievers. And from that perspective, we may even look like we are very humble or perhaps even timid. But from our perspective, that meekness, that is objectivity of our mind, that keeping how we are keeping ourselves to be focused on the final goal is needed when we talk to other people. Like even in normal life, people, when they deal with other people, if they don't keep in mind what will happen next, they can do interesting things, or maybe they can hurt themselves. Like I like to play ping pong, and almost every week we have a little club in Lake Oswego where we come for 1 hour, 1.5 hours and play ping pong. And there are a few people. And then one gentleman came, and he wasn't coming for like several months to play ping pong. And then he started to play with the club director and played and played. And then he disappeared. He disappeared before, like 40 minutes before the end of this whole thing. And then the club director said, do you know what he said? He said, like, everybody is ignoring him. So nobody wanted to play with him. And he said, I'm leaving. I'm never come back. And that was not the case because we just played, and that's it. And we thought he is enjoying his time. But the gentleman, he left and said he will never come back. And it will hurt him because he likes to play ping pong if he doesn't come back. And he was wrong. So if he had some meekness or objectivity of his mind, he wouldn't, at least he would leave, but did not say anything like that. Because like by saying something, a person can put himself or herself in a certain frame or in certain box that if you say the word, then you're bounded by that word. So talking about meekness our meekness that comes from the Holy Spirit is needed when we deal with people from the world, from that belong to the world system, that belong to Satan. We have to have meekness to deal with those people. That's what the scripture says in Titus 3, to speak evil of no man. So it's politics, basically. Many people go to Pioneer Square. We had one lady at work. I tried to share the gospel. She didn't care. She was talking about Obama. She was talking about bad stuff was coming, and she was eager to go to Pioneer Square. I don't know what they do over there. But she wanted to go there. Maybe you know better. I've never been there. They probably have some sort of a club where they can share their opinions. And Bible says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And then also, sometimes we have people who want to know. They want to know why we believe, right? So if we live according to the scriptures, people see the difference, right? If we manifest God's life, people start to see it. At our works, at our neighborhood, they may ask questions. And the Bible instructs about that. If we open 1 Peter 3:15, we can see that. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." With meekness and fear. So we have to have that meekness, that objectivity of our minds to give the answer of person who requests information from us. So why we are different? Why we believe? And we have to be ready and have that final goal in our minds. Who knows, maybe that person will be saved through the testimony because we share the gospel with that person. But what attracts people, that they see the difference. And when they see the difference, if they ask, then we have to have meekness as well. It says, ask you reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what I hope we learn today is that meekness is different from gentleness. It's not being gentle. It could include gentleness in some cases when it's needed to achieve the final objective. But the most importantly, it's an objectivity of our minds when we keep ourselves focused on our final goal. And we have the blessed hope, right? This is, our final goal. We have also different circumstances in our lives where we need actually to have that objectivity of mind to successfully go through the situations in our life. That's something that God gives us, and that's our possession, but we have to be spiritual. And to be spiritual, we have to be victorious in our Christian life. This is the first thing we need to do. And I'm very glad that God made this wonderful opportunity for us, that He put the circumstances in such a way that we met. It was in 2005. Wow, 8 years ago, it's been 8 years. 8 years ago, we came into this building and you graciously allowed us to stay here. And then Brother Mark mentioned about evening school, the Bible. And then I went to that school and then opened my eyes. I saw actually that we can live and be victorious. We can have a victory over the sin nature, over this flesh. Not be carnal, but be spiritual. We can have a victory over world system, even over Satan. Because we know how he attacks and what we need to apply in our lives. I'm thankful to God for that. Okay, let me perhaps close with the word of prayer. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this time that we have together, this fellowship, that we have your word and you teach us how we have to be victorious, what you expect in our lives. And we have this joy that you give us, and we have these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. Help us all to apply the knowledge that we get here, to apply it in our lives, and grow spiritually for your glory. Amen. So how do you normally, what's the next? Is, some